communicate worldwide. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateur. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org, and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. Still with Hamvention 2010, this year's Amateur Radio Newsline devoted its two-hour Ham Radio Town Meeting to something that might be best described as only peripheral to the hobby, but important to everybody's day-to-day existence. With the economy only barely showing any signs of recovery and unemployment near record levels, we thought it might be a good idea to try to help those hams in need of employment to do so by using their experience as licensed radio amateurs. The session title was Amateur Radio as a Good Way to Find or Keep a Job in Today's Shrinking Job Market. And while our speakers could not provide all the answers, some like Bob Sherman, K2SJP, were able to share stories of the way in which being a ham as a teen did lead to a lifelong career.
It helped me pick up my trade in aircraft electronics. I went for an interview with Pan American World Airways at Kennedy Airport, and I was a graduate of RCA Institutes in New York City and had gone to George Westinghouse Radio and Television High School in Brooklyn. They didn't seem to care about that too much. When I listed my ham radio license, the girl that was interviewing me peeked up and she said, "You're a ham operator?" I said, "Oh yeah, I've been a ham operator for several years now." And she says, "We need you." And I spent 25 years in Pan American World Airways right to the day of their demise. And I actually was in the top 7% of seniority in avionics and stayed on with them after their demise for several months, where we collected the aircraft all over the world. I brought them back to Miami and JFK and performed final avionics services on them before they were put up for sale.
After Pan Am folded, Bob's ham license got him a position at Tower Air and later at Federal Express, from which he recently retired. Another speaker tackled the emerging interest by teens and early adults in electronic careers. Her name is Diana Eng. Her call is KC2UHB. And she has a multifaceted professional life as a fashion designer of electronic integrated clothing. In addition, Eng is a former Project Runaway contestant. She also produces and hosts online videos explaining the various aspects of electronics and communications, and is a writer for Make Magazine. Diana talked about the emerging interest in ham radio and how it might lead to niche careers.
The way that I got into all of this was because right now there's a huge revival in hobbyist electronics. And this is, a lot of young people are really getting into this, and this is people in their teens and 20s and 30s, and they're forming things called hacker groups. And these aren't evil hackers who do mean things to your computer. This is a different type of hacker. These are people who like to play with the electronics and try and see if they can do something new with it. So this is my hacker group over here. It's called NYC Resistor, and I'm one of the co-founders of it, and we right now have about 30 members. We're based in Brooklyn.
Other speakers included Steve Mendelson, W2ML of the ABC Television Network, Rich Moseson, W2VU, who's the editor of CQ Magazine, Martin Chu, K5FLU, the founder of MFJ Enterprises, Alan Pitts, W1AGP, who is the public relations director for the ARRL, and Ham Radio's own Mr. Audio, Bob Heil, K9EID of Heil Sound Limited. Each had his or her own ham radio business success story to tell you, and you can hear the entire session by downloading the MP3 file at our website at www.arnewsline.org. Just scroll down until you see the words "click here" to download the entire 120-minute 2010 Hamvention Town Meeting. Settle back, and we hope that what you hear is of some help to those who are seeking a job or trying to keep the one they have now. And lest we forget, our thanks to Hap Hawley, KC9RP, and the Radio Amateur Information Network for recording this year's town meeting, to our on-site producer, Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, and our prize coordinator, Kathy Anno, KB0FDU. And a special thank you to Heil Sound and CQ Magazine, who generously provided this year's major door prizes.
If you tried to access Newsline by telephone last week, you likely found that the machine supplying the audio dropped out after only a few minutes. This made it impossible to get the entire newscast by telephone until late Tuesday the 25th. That's when we were finally able to get the unit feeding the phone line back up to speed, at least for the time being. Well, what happened is that the machine used to feed the telephone line is more than 20 years old and is frankly on its last legs. A quick call to Panasonic has confirmed that there are no longer any parts available. Luckily, we had one that we have been cannibalizing for parts. That said, once the unit now online finally fails for good, there will be nothing that we can afford to buy to replace it. Therefore, we urge anyone who still uses the 661-296-2407 dial-in line to begin thinking about switching to downloading the MP3 audio file from our website at www.arnewsline.org. Once the Panasonic machine goes to the electronic dumping ground, the 2407 line will be disconnected and all telephone feed service will end. We cannot tell you when that will be, but from the looks of the machine, it could happen at any time in the not-too-distant future.
This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org, and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. The world's oldest National Ham Radio Society has turned 100, and there's a big celebration going on down under. Of course, we're talking about the Wireless Institute of Australia. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, is the voice of the WIA News and is here to tell us about the year-long festivities that are taking place.
For the full year, being January through December 2010, and with help of its members, the WIA is celebrating the centenary of organized amateur radio in Australia. The Wireless Institute of Australia's year-long celebration, with the center point this weekend's 100th WIA AGM in the nation's capital, is in recognition of the foundation of the WIA and the very start of organized amateur radio in Australia during 1910. 11th of March 1910, a meeting of like-minded people in the Hotel Australia, Martin Place, Sydney, formed the Institute of Wireless Telegraphy of Australia, and soon after dropped the word telegraphy from its name. Chairman of the founding meeting, George Taylor, proposed the formation of an institution amongst experimenters and enthusiasts in wireless for their mutual benefit. A range of initiatives and activities happening in 2010 provide an opportunity for every VKAX radio amateur to be involved in what is already a memorable celebration. Special event call sign VK100WIA is very popular. The WIA annual general meeting and activities program in Canberra this weekend is in full swing. Astronaut Tracy Caldwell Dyson, KF5DBF, will be talking from space at his WIA centenary dinner in Canberra. As the ISS Expedition 23 flight engineer, Tracy is set to give a brief speech to the centenary dinner Saturday, May 29, before answering questions from up to 10 students from Canberra's Trinity Christian School. The weekly Sunday morning VK1WIA broadcast, hosted by yours truly, Graham VK4BB, will be transmitted live from an outside broadcast venue set up in a Canberra park. The broadcast will be aired live at 8 a.m. and simultaneously recorded with the MP3 recording uploaded to the WIA website for broadcasters around the world to download. Public displays of amateur radio are being mounted in local Canberra venues with the assistance of the Canberra Region Amateur Radio Club. A chance to demonstrate the hobby of amateur radio to the people of Canberra and Australia. All in all, a great weekend, a great year, 2010. The year the Wireless Institute of Australia turns 100. I'm Graham, VK4BB, and you're listening to the Amateur Radio Newsline.
You can learn more about the 100th anniversary of the Wireless Institute of Australia online at www.wia.org.au. The South African Radio League has celebrated its 85th anniversary. The society was founded on Wednesday, 20 May, 1925. A group of radio amateurs got together in the city of Cape Town to form a national organization. Dennis Green, ZS2BS, is the current president of the South African Radio League. In his celebratory message, Green said, and we quote, "As we look to the future, we are faced with some challenges to the organization and to the hobby. I think the recruitment of members is important not only to young people, but also those more settled, end quote. Green adds that ham radio has so many facets and that there are so many things radio amateurs can get involved in that the sky is the only limit.
Solar physicists at the University of California at Berkeley have captured for the first time the collision of a comet with the sun. Using data radioed back to Earth from instruments aboard NASA's twin stereo spacecraft, the four researchers at UC Berkeley's Space Sciences Laboratory were able to track the comet as it approached the sun and estimate an approximate time and place of impact. They then looked at data from the terrestrial Mauna Loa Solar Observatory in Hawaii and found images in the predicted spot of what appears to be a comet approaching the edge of the sun from behind the solar disk. The comet apparently survived the heat of the corona and disappeared in the chromosphere, evaporating in the 100,000 degree Kelvin heat.
In contesting news, a reminder that the CQWW-WPX-CW contest takes place between May 29 and 30 between the 0 hour and 2359 UTC. This is an HF-only contest that uses the 160 through 10 meter bands and requires an exchange of signal report and serial number. More information on it online at www.cq-amateur-radio.com. In DX, we start this week on the VHF bands. This was word that Friday, May 14th, the 50 megahertz band was opened from Great Britain to Bahrain. This resulted in a 5,270-kilometer contact being made between RSGB VHF manager David Butler, G4ASR, and A92IO. But it didn't end there. On Monday, May 17th, G4ASR contacted stations in Greece on the 2-meter band. SSB contacts were made via sporadic E propagation to SV2JL at 2,300 kilometers and SW6KRV at 2,286 kilometers. A few minutes earlier, G4ASR had sideband contacts on 4 meters with SV1DH at 2,590 kilometers and SV2DCD at 2,253 kilometers. Turning to the high-frequency bands, news that a multinational team of up to 30 operators from 9 countries is in advanced preparation to operate Spratly Island Group in the South China Sea. Following 12 months of discussions with military and civilian authorities, permission's been received to operate on Fiji Island. The expedition, organized by the South Pacific Contest Club, will run from January 6th through the 24th, 2011. More on this operation online at www.dx0dx.net.
And finally this week, a group of amateur radio astronomers have accomplished what the military was likely hoping would not happen. They've spotted the super-secret U.S. Air Force X-37B mini space plane on orbit. Amateur Radio Newsline's Frank Haas, KB4T, has the rest of the story.
The unpiloted X-37B Orbital Test Vehicle 1 was lofted on April 22nd atop an Atlas launcher. It is being flown under the auspices of the U.S. Air Force Rapid Capabilities Office. From there, it entered a proverbial cone of silence regarding its on-orbit duties. But, thanks to a worldwide network of amateur sky watchers, the spacecraft is reportedly in a 39.99 degree inclination, circling the Earth in an orbit 401 by 422 kilometers. Greg Roberts of Cape Town, South Africa, is a pioneer in using telescopic video cameras to track spacecraft, chalking up exceptional results over the years. He says that this data may change slightly as the spaceship's orbit is better refined. Roberts adds that those sighting the craft have absolute confidence in their observations, claiming no chance of error or of it being any other type of orbital item such as a satellite. Roberts says that the next phase of the amateur astronomers' tracking of the X-37B will be an attempt to see if the spaceplane is emitting any radio signals on the frequency bands that he is able to monitor. He says that will be an even bigger challenge than that of locating the space plane itself, because without any data as to emission type or frequencies on which it may be operating, it will be like looking for the proverbial needle in a haystack. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Frank Haas, KB4T, in Holly Hill, Florida.
The Air Force has not said what the robotic ship is for, but analysts say it is likely a high-altitude spy craft. With thanks to Alan Lance, AMFAT, the ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Pen DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, and Australia's WIA News, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. A quick reminder that the nominating period for the 2010 Young Ham of the Year Award closes at midnight, Sunday, May 30th. Any nomination form postmarked after that date or received electronically after the midnight hour of May 30th will not be considered in this year's judging. Full instructions and a nominating form at the website www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Jim Dameron, NATNW.
And I'm Jeff Clark, KHAAC, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2010, all rights reserved.
KE2EJ, KE2EJ, K2YO.
W2EDR Mobile Listening.
And 2XJ. KE2IO Mobile. Enter XJN Mobile.
Good morning there. How are you doing? It's Bernie, K2IO. Eastbound LIE, passing the clear view.
How are you doing, Bernie? I'm heading right now towards Sayasit. Nice weather. Not so warm as of yet. I wonder what put you on the road so early in the morning and to AGN.
And unfortunately I'm headed home from work. Had a server audit to do last night, so I'm headed home to catch a few winks of sleep. This is Wesley, isn't it?
That is correct, very much.
We missed you last night on the TechNet.
Oh, thank you that somebody noticed that. Well, my wife arrived from Europe, and I had to pay attention to her, but I was listening to the TechNet. I was so amazingly tired, and I was doing all of the cleanup with my laboratory, so my wife wouldn't complain when she come home. Back to you.
Well, you made the wise choice. There will always be more TechNet. There'll only be one true wife.
Yeah, I've heard they were talking about Fastcon TV, and it was very much interesting, but I found myself half sleeping in front of the transceiver, so I decided I gotta go to bed again. I was really flying yesterday, since 6 o'clock in the morning I was just working. I was 49 devices, measurement equipment that I had to put in order, and then all of the unnecessary cabling and stuff put to the boxes and put to another house, basement. Yeah, so right now I'm ready for the project. Actually, the project already started, and I promised the members of the club that whether I'm gonna succeed or not succeed, I'm gonna just share the information or present the device to them and do exam.
So now, what brings you out on the road so early this morning?
Well, I happen to have the knowledge about alarm systems, and a friend of mine, the accountant of mine, who I know for quite 20-something years, he asked me for the help, so I promised him that I'm going to come over and help him fix it. Back to you.
Well, good boy. It's always a good thing to help a friend out. Plus, it'll be a fun project. Those projects always go better when you got a buddy helping you.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, the project is about free energy device. with disregard the fact how laughable it is, I'm progressing, and I see the results. The project is going on right now in three places at the same time: Moscow, Poland, and New York. With the same equipment, the same actually it's not the equipment, but with the same parts and the same principles, the same schematics, and we share this information between us. So it's like a joint project. Back to you.
Well, there are many of us out here in the spectator seats that are very anxious to see what your results come up with. I think we can say quite a few of us respect your scientific mind and that you're going to approach this with a healthy degree of skepticism, optimism, and scientific approach. And that's how we get these things nailed down. I would, from a marketing perspective, recommend you change the name. Instead of a free energy device, it's an alternate energy device. I think that'll keep a lot of the that'll ruffle fewer noses, unless you want to ruffle the noses.
CPZ Mobile.
Welcome another station. TZ, I didn't catch your call sign, I'm sorry. Wesley on the road. Yes, you're right. To avoid the skepticism, I suppose to name it alternate energy device, but when you take the ground and 12-volt battery, and then that's all you need to power the device, and then after 3 seconds you disconnect the power again, and the device is able to drive a number of light bulbs. At that point, I may say that's not alternate. And of course, it's laughable. That's fine. I can live with that. I remember in the 90s when I was a lecturer in Denver, Colorado, in international conference, there were a few guys that were laughing at that time, and we've got a patent from United States Patent Office. So, and the device was working till September 11. After that, I decided that since my office no longer exists, or the place that office was no longer exists, I'm going to have more quieter life, and right now it's like I'm coming back. And to Exia, the new station pick up, and to Exia.
And to XJ in the group, K6DPZ Mobile. I was just listening. I wanted to say hello. I've talked to you before, Leslie. And the only comment I have is about your device, but they made a joke on Nikola Tesla, and the man was way beyond his time. Some of his stuff, even till today, they cannot. So if you've got something that's a perpetual motion power device, as I just turned it on for what you're telling me, I don't laugh at things like that. I hold 5 U.S. patents on things that people laughed at. The other station, pick it up, K6DPZ Mobile.
Good morning, Al. It's Bernie, K2YO. Do either of you receive the IEEE magazines? I believe that's where I saw this. And, in the last month or two, I read an article about RCA has introduced a device which will collect energy off of Wi-Fi hotspots and will store that energy up, and then you can use that to charge your cell phone or whatever portable device you need to charge. Basically, it's just a store and forward kind of version of the wireless charging devices that are just coming out now. Wesley?
Very interesting. Well, there are a number of alternate energy devices right now, and people claim that they have the over-unit and perpetual motion, although the science does not admit that, and the old quantum theory is actually against that. I believe there is a significant difference between the time of Tesla and the time of Einstein, and actually Einstein was attempting and has made some significant changes to Planck theory, and if people before me, before I decided to do something, were able to succeed somehow, or at least they claimed that they were able to succeed, it is good and nice fun just to try it, even if there is no result. I don't believe it's not going to be result. I'm so much convinced. But even if it's no result, in age of 53, approaching 54, is a good exercise to the brain and to exercise.
So I let the commercial go through, Wesley. Well, you know, the point of generating power, there's a lot being done, and especially with superconductors, and it's the same theory. You get a tank circuit, that will go in oscillation if it did not have the damping characteristic because of the law characteristic. You could pick off the power from a tank circuit and you would have power. The only thing is working with now superconductors, they're reaching that point where a tank circuit could just keep on oscillating, and that's where you can pick up your power point. I gotta get out of here. I'd love to continue this with you, Leslie, because I'm very much into a lot of Nicole's theories. And I went over his mathematics and some stuff that's very interesting. It's very complex. The other station, pick it up. K6DPZ Mobile.
Well, I will offer to both of you. I have a personal friend out in California who is a ham in N6UXW, and he is one of the country's premier Tesla coil builders. If you go to TTR.com, you can see some of his work. And if you'd ever like an introduction, I'll be glad to introduce you to him. He's always interested in people headed in those directions. Now, Wesley, one of the advantages of your pursuits is that you've got an article to write either way. If you prove it, you've got an article to write to prove it. And if you disprove it, you have a paper to write to disprove it. So you're going to be an author either way in this. Wesley?
Thank you. Well, I remember in my lifetime, there were many people that were skeptical as to the certain approaches, and they were laughing. I remember the time when I was, I came to this country and I saw that the police officer with the Colt pistol, and I thought that somebody can just pull up the pistol and shoot the officer from behind. And then I was, I approached to the store and I saw this gate, they do beep beep beep, and I said, well, how about the, if this device is put into that revolver, and if the distance is too long, then the revolver wouldn't be able to shoot. And I was poor at the time. I was waiting with that. And then when I turned to Remington with that, a few years later, they found that they told me, well, half a year ago, we've got it already. So, but when I spoke to the people at that time, they said, nah, it's not gonna work. Yeah. Back to you.
6DPZ. You know, what happens with a lot of these big companies, Wesley, they want to develop the stuff in-house. They don't want to pay for the licensing of somebody else's patent. I did that with the Hughes and TRW and a couple of the other large companies with the stuff I came up with. Let me get out of here, gentlemen. I'd love to continue this. I'm going to read my paper and have some breakfast. Have a good Memorial Day. And it's very interesting what you're doing, Wesley. I'd like to know more about it, and I'm sure we'll talk more in depth about it. The other station, pick it up. This is K6 Delta Papa Zulu Mobile.
73 Owls, have a great Memorial Day. Let's all remember what this day is for, and that be respectful of that, but at the same time enjoy ourselves and enjoy the freedom that those people earned us. So have a great day, Al. Wesley, yeah, those trigger locks were, in my mind, they still haven't really come out to fruition yet, but I bet they will. They are definitely going to one day. The problem is you're fighting with governmental agencies, and you got to get them to go out and buy all new firearms, which nobody has budget for. Wesley?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you another story, and to exchange for ID. About a year ago, I decided to work on a remote gun, a sniper gun, and that was just something that popped into my mind. And based on triangle of mistake that was used by German in Second World War and then by ham radio operators, went to very simple mathematics, and I find out that 3 points in space will always belong to one plane. The only thing is that which mathematics is more suitable for it, whether this is the Cartesian one, I was trying with the Cartesian one, and I didn't succeed very much, but when I went to Euclides, then all of a sudden I find out that everything matches. So I went to my patent officer that I have for years. Let me drop. And he told me, well, yes, I've checked in the patent office, there is nothing like that, but look what you're facing it. If you decide to patent it, it will go for 3 years to silence. It's going to be standing in files because it has the application, military application. And after that, you may be withheld with it for another 12 years, up to 28 years. That's what he told me. Unless the government find out that it is something that is suitable for their needs. And of course, you can claim the rights because you were being put on hold, but that's a long story. Let me drop for a moment. In other words, it was like that. The gunman, the sniper is in one place, the gun is in another place. It could be airlifted, could be on the ground, and the target is in another place. And guns are anything anything to direct itself on the target apart from the mechanism. So the gun is blind, and the sniper is just aiming with his gun towards the target, and automatically the secondary gun is doing the same. So you know. And the reason for that was not really to shoot somebody. I'm a pacifist. I'm against any kind of arms, whatever. But I was thinking that the ultimate gun, if either army has one, nobody's going to shoot because it would be like nuclear bomb. Nobody uses ultimate disaster. And to exam.
That brings up another interesting article I read this last week on coming home on the subway the other night. They were talking about using lasers to control mosquitoes. And they were pointing out that you could probably homebrew one of these things not pretty easily, but anybody with an engineering mind or any decent triple E engineer could do it. So a lot of these things are very possible. And when you start applying some of the pieces that are available now, it's very interesting what you can do.
Yeah. It's very interesting what you think. I wonder how they do it. Finally, I gave up. I have a friend of mine who actually wanted to invest in it. Not really invest into the technology, but invest into the patent. Thanks to the guy that I have, the guy who is doing patent work for 30-something years, and he's retired right now, he said, Wesley, I know you for years, I don't want your money. It's just a long way in front of you. Are you going to proceed or are you not going to proceed with that? So, you know, gave up. And then a year later, I decided to completely get involved in free energy. With disregard the fact that it makes me funny. But it's fine. Funny is healthy. Back to you.
Funny with the whole patent world. I came out of high-tech electronics. And in the electronics world, we never really particularly bothered to patent things. We did cover ourselves with prior art and making sure we had things documented of what we were building. But the idea was that by the time you got it patented, somebody else was already at the marketplace. Then you just got a legal battle. In fact, in the product development world, the joke was those that can develop and those that can't fight over patents.
I think he hit a beep.
Yeah, I think it swallowed the beep, K2YL.
Okay, got it. Well, The thing is that at this time, it's the first time in my life, I don't really intend to patent anything. What I intend to do is, if in case I'm successful, I'm willing to give it for free. Not because I'm so great human being who wants everyone to have a free energy. It's just that I believe it's the time. It is the time right now that in the crisis, in the recession that we have, in the situation when millions of people are losing their own houses and millions of people are unemployed or underemployed, if something like that exists, it should be the property of humanity. Of course, another group of laughing people around listening to this conversation, but I believe it works. And to exist.
Well, if you perfect this, the King of Sweden has a medal he'd like to give you. So that will be your fame and fortune. Well, you know, when you're pushing the outer edge of things, you have to go to places that people say aren't possible, that theoretically can't happen, that aren't there. You know, how many of the inventions that we commonly use today that nobody could have even fathomed or would have laughed at you that you could do? The mere concept of the radios that we're using 100 years ago, not 100 years ago, 150 years ago, people would have laughed at you at the concept.
Well, I recall myself as Stanley Mayer. Stanley Mayer in 1998 became very much popular, and there was a lot of notion about this person who was showing up himself with his water-fueled car, and then as much as the sources said, he signed a contract for $30 million for research facility towards the technology. Like, the very next day he went to the restaurant and he poisoned himself. Why he did it, I have no idea till now. But I believe the biggest problem was that everyone who has something in hand, he wants to patent it and he wants to profit from that. Now, some of this might be inconvenient to some of others. When you release something that is with no intent to gain and it's the public domain, such situation will never happen. I believe you understand what I'm talking about. And to Andrea.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. The reason that we are where we are in physics today is because a lot of the great minds came together behind a cause. It was a war, and they had to do it. And they had to get it done before somebody else got it done. And, you know, the current energy crisis, not many people are talking about that we have an energy crisis, but we do. We're dependent on foreign oil. We pay, 29 cents a kilowatt for electricity here on the island? We're in an energy crisis. Probably the second largest budget item in my family budget is energy. So, anything that can be done to secure energy is the next great thing. I still think that if a young kid coming out of college today wanted a life purpose that would make him filthy rich, they need to go develop a new energy source. The reason we don't have electric cars is batteries are heavy. Even the newest batteries we have, our radios now use lithium-ion batteries. They're light years better than the old NiCads or nickel metal hydrides, but they're still not what they should be. So whoever invents that next new energy source, and I don't think it's going to be a battery. It's going to be something different. Batteries aren't going to get us to where we need to be. Whoever makes that jump to the next energy source can own the keys to the kingdom at that point.
My wife is a psychologist, and to Exian for ID. And when I spoke to her, she said that there is a certain mechanism that is working in the world. You've got the Polaroid, and then the Polaroid was sold for almost nothing, but you gotta have to buy the refuels for it. And these refuels will be worthless when there is no Polaroid. Then you have the batteries. Well, you gotta buy the batteries because they don't have a lifetime. Then anything like the cartridges for the laser printers or any kind of printers, you gotta buy them. And that's what drives the economy. How about if there is something that does not require refuels? You put it on the plate and it works. And a part of from that, the picture, to have this conversation more funny, I'm gonna make the picture. Let me drop. Yeah. Supposedly, today is a beautiful day and very important day to the history of United States. And at 12 o'clock, nobody will buy a gasoline, a gas, electric, heating hot water any longer. And what's going to happen? Well, the gas station will immediately go out of business. The oil business companies and the Arab countries will actually suffer. And there will be no need for the war. And if 10% of everyone's budget goes to the energy, then this 30% goes to paying off your credit cards, and then there will be the mortgages. This is the picture. Now, is this going to happen? Well, that's my dream. I have a dream. And to exam.
Just a thought that came to mind as you were speaking. When my wife's a doctor, but she's a back doctor, so she calls me crazy. There's no medical findings behind that. When your wife calls you crazy, you've got a problem. Hi. Taking the razor blade theory that you give the razors away and sell the razor blades, the magic of what we're talking about is if we can find a way that you buy the razor, but that you can manufacture your own blade. I remember one of the Back to the Future. In fact, it was the first Back to the Future movie, where at the end of the movie, the doctor comes back from the future and strapped to the back of the DeLorean is the Digimatic, where he digs through the garbage and grabs some organic material, throws it in, and that whips up his atomic power that he needs. That's really what we're talking about is when you can convert something, whether it's air, whether it's light, whether it's whatever, into energy, you've got something. Right now, yeah, we can convert solar light into energy, but the expensive, it's inefficient is the problem. As soon as you've got something you can install in your house, put a little device on your roof or in the wall or something that collects this stuff, then you've got something magical.
Yeah, very valuable words that you said right now, and to HJM. Well, the efficiency of the solar panel is 15%. The efficiency of gasoline is up to 30%. So if we have something that is inefficiency to up to 100 is great, but when we go over 100, then it's something that is absolutely, absolutely outstanding. And for the example, if we have the refrigerator in our houses, nobody realized that efficiency of refrigerators over 100%, just a little over 100%. If you just calculate the amount of energy that you're getting out comparing to the energy that you're putting. But nobody bothers, nobody cares, because it's not very much usable. The example that I had gave, let me drop. Energy, the example that I had gave some time ago was, you have 10 years old girls, and they are pushing the car. After the moment, you need only two girls. After the moment, when the car is in the motion, you need one finger of one lady, just to say sustained emotion. Now, when I was analyzing all of the roots of the free energy, the mechanism is actually the same. You gotta use the energy from the beginning of to put something in motion, and then you just have to compensate that little energy in order to have a 100% of the energy conservation. That means the car is not fast, the car is not strong, but it's running. What the Tesla was trying to do in 1897, when he announced to J.P. Morgan that he wants to give the electricity for free to the whole world, he realized that the energy of spark unloading is so rapid that actually serve as not only one finger, but 100 of fingers of the one lady that is trying to push the car. Do you understand the expressional language that I'm talking about? And to exist.
Yes, I do. I want to add one more thing to the equation. What we have to figure out a way is to convert a benign substance into energy. Right now, we have gasoline that we convert into energy in our car, but it's explosive. I have gas or oil in my house, but it's flammable. Nuclear power is wonderful, except that the stuff you convert into power is deadly. So if you can find something that will take a benign substance and turn that into energy, whatever that may be, if it's air, if it's water, if it's whatever, grass clippings, whatever, then you have a truly safe source, meaning that we could then move the creation of energy into a household level. The reason that I can't generate energy in my own house is that it's dangerous. You know, if I set up a reactor in my own house, there's a reason why why we have the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. This stuff's dangerous. And so the one other piece of the equation is the energy has to come from a source that is benign in and of itself.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, the device that I'm working on, the similar devices were already presented to the world. One of them, by the name Kapenadze, is a Georgian guy who did it first time, and he holds the device in his own hands. The device is made from with a plastic box that you could see inside, and he was able to power up 5 kilowatts of light bulbs with that. Of course, this kind of energy, because of the frequency difference, is not usable to power up your electronic devices, but it's good for your light, and it is good for heating application, which is already great. And this gentleman asked most or maybe all of the inventors, he decided to keep the secret by himself. I have no knowledge of anyone who was dealing with the energy, free energy, who ever became rich. But I have at least 78 names of the people who are no longer between us. They had a problem. Some of them actually had very weak health. Some of them had an accident, whatever. Poor guys. The only problem all of them they had is they were hiding their invention for the thoughts that they had in mind that they're going to benefit and become very rich. Well, as we know from the history, Tesla was ruined by J.P. Morgan.
Repeater, time out. Repeater, time out. Cancel.
Okay, I don't know how much of that was lost. So the Tesla place in Long Island never became the memorial, or the never became the national symbol. And Tesla was having only the money to survive for the rest of his life from just a little from his patents, other patents that he has made, mostly the squirrel cage.
and just from the Nobel Prize that he's got. So, sometimes it is better for an individual to public something and become famous, and maybe some of the money will come to him because of that factor. Unfortunate is that O.J. Simpson, who I believe, I'm not spending, I believe, he murdered his wife. He made a bunch of money because of his book. So the popularity is another factor driven, but most of the inventors say, no, I'm not satisfied with it. I'm going to patent it. I'm going to make a bunch of money on it. Well, why nobody has made the money on it and to exist?
Well, this has been a very interesting conversation. I'm designated at the house here, so I'm going to have to take my leave of it. We shall definitely have to continue this sometime. Have a great holiday. Good luck with your project at your friend's house, 73, and I'll catch you later, K2IO.
K2IO and to Exxon, thank you very much. I think I made a nice trip for yourself with all of this controversy, and I wish you and your family very well, especially in the day like today. I wish everybody in all America the best. And to Exia.
W-A-2-B mobile.